You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 130.
How's that for a change of pace? That's a piece called There's Nothing Impossible by Deus. He's a technical, classical musician from the Ivory Coast. I think I picked it because I used to like electronic music a lot. I think There's Nothing Impossible might refer to the fact that even coding is not impossible for you. So I hope you enjoy that piece. I'll play the full piece at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to all of the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. So my topic today is everyone should learn how to code. So rather than interview someone else this time around, I thought I would sort of interview myself and answer some questions for you about why I think that. So I guess the first question is, why am I interested in coding? Was I ever a programmer? Well, the story goes back to when I was in graduate school, and I had to learn how to program out of necessity. Those were the days, I'm dating myself here a little bit, but if I wanted to do a simple statistical test, a t-test, I had to wait in line in front of the teletype and type in my data and send it to a service bureau, and it would actually cost money. So this was right around the time when microcomputers were coming out, and I said, well, this is great. Let me get a microcomputer, and I'll write my own software. Also, in those days, there was no word processor per se. I learned how to do some line editing on a PDP-11 computer, and I actually used that to write a grant, believe it or not. So the other thing I wanted to use my microcomputer for was word processing. So one thing led to another, and I wrote software to do t-tests and analysis of variance and so on, and to make a long story short, it evolved into a book I co-authored with my mentor at the time, and it got published by Springer Verlag, and I'd retained the rights to the software. Now, this was done in the early 1980s. The second edition came out in, I think, 87, but the software was written in BASIC, which, of course, is no longer really important these days. The book went out of print, but recently the book came back in print, so to speak. The publisher resurrected the book, and you can now purchase it on Amazon or download it as a PDF. And however, the software is still the old BASIC. Now, there wasn't really a commercial reason to have a professional rewrite the software. It probably wouldn't be cost effective. So I began to think about, I did it once before, maybe I should do it again. Maybe I should look into coding and some of the modern programming languages and see if I can pull it off myself. So that's why I'm interested in coding. Now, some people may think that programming is drudgery, but to be honest, I really enjoyed it. I think I got a lot of satisfaction out of it to create something new, create something useful that other people can use, and to earn a little money along the way. So how's this relevant to an e-learning blog and podcasts such as mine? Well, of course, it's about learning, definitely. And I was amazed to find all the wonderful e-learning technology that goes in to teaching coding or programming these days, as I discovered. So now comes the question, why do I think that everyone should learn how to code? Is it to learn a programming as a skill to get a great job? Well, I'm not talking here about necessarily learning programming as a skill to get a good job. Well, that's certainly a good career choice these days, but I think programming really helps people learn how to think. In fact, here are some quotes I thought you might be interested in. Let's see what these people say.
To actually learn how to think. In other words, I think the greatest value of learning how to, I think everybody in this country should learn how to program a computer, should learn a computer language, because it teaches you how to think. It's like going to law school. I don't think anybody should be a lawyer, but I think going to law school would actually be useful because it teaches you how to think in a certain way, in the same way that computer programming teaches you in a slightly different way how to think. And so I view computer science as a liberal art. It should be something that everybody learns, you know, takes a year in their life. One of the courses they take is, you know, learning how to program.
Well, if you recognize the voice, that's Steve Jobs. Of course, he was the head of a very successful computer company, Apple Computer. How about this? Quote, learning to write programs stretches your mind and helps you think better. It creates a way of thinking about things that I think is helpful in all domains. That was a quote by Bill Gates. Of course, you might say these are skewed by the fact that these are two very successful entrepreneurs and now software giants. But how about this quote?
If we want America to stay on the cutting edge, we need young Americans like you to master the tools and technology that will change the way we do just about everything. That's why I'm asking you to get involved. Don't just buy a new video game. Make one. Don't just download the latest app. Help design it. Don't just play on your phone. Program it. No one's born a computer scientist, but with a little hard work and some math and science, just about anyone can become one.
And that's by President Obama. There's certainly been a push lately to step up the game in our education system to promote coding as a way to help people learn how to think. So when you think about it, programming is really applied logic. It's a discipline that requires you to break a problem into component parts, to construct those parts from a set of logical building blocks, and to combine those solved parts into a greater whole. And I think people can really get seduced into coding and programming because you really do get a lot of satisfaction out of building something, as I said, that not only solves problems, but it's an art form of sorts, and people can make money at it as well. So I think these are very powerful and fundamental skills that are worth teaching to anyone. I think this sort of teaching should be done in grade school and continue through college. Why not make it a part of STEM? Science, technology, engineering, and math, computing, and coding fits in, I think, to all these disciplines. Also, from a practical point of view, it teaches all this in an environment where you can help keep students interested by having them use the skills they're learning to build tools, to build toys, and to make games. In fact, that's, I think, just about everybody that learns to program tries their hand at writing a game. Things may turned out much different for me if I had gone into writing games than studying pharmacology. But I remember when I learned BASIC, the very first thing I learned how to do was to program a simple text-based game that was sort of a flight to the moon. You had to calculate how to get to the moon by overcoming the gravitational pull of the Earth and so on. Some would say that to stay competitive in a very fast-growing digital economy, young people of the world need to know how to read, write, and code. So what do I think is the best approach to start learning how to code? And what programming language should you learn? Well, certainly if you're a beginner, I don't think you need to worry about which programming language you need, especially if you're young. Languages come in and out of favor, but certainly the basic principles are there for every language. There are a tremendous amount of resources available online, and I have links to all of these things I'll be talking about in my show notes. So there's an online book called How to Design Programs, Second Edition. It was originally built for a course at MIT. They say, for example, good programming requires thought, but everyone can do it and everyone can experience the extreme satisfaction that comes of it. And I would certainly agree with that. Google has certainly stepped up their game. Of course, they have self-serving interest in getting people to learn how to code. They run a computer science club for K-8 students. Google also has a program called Computer Science for High School, CS4HS. And they give out grants every year for institutions to offer programs to teach K-12 science teachers how to program so they can bring it back to their students. I also have a link to a number of great articles. Here are some of the titles of some of the resources that I have in my show notes. One's called Reading, Writing, Arithmetic, and Lately Coding. Another is, should all majors, not just computer science majors, learn to code? I would say yes. Why you should learn to code and how to actually do it. This gives the basic fundamentals of coding and talks about it as being a basic digital literacy that everyone should try to learn. Another is 10 places where anyone can learn to code. So getting back to my story, I wanted to test some of the resources that are online that might teach me how to code. And another question that you have to answer for yourself, if you really want to do something practical, and it's always a good idea, I think, to have a specific program or problem that you want to solve when you go into this. Mine was to recode a series of 48 procedures I had in my original book, Written in Basic. So did I want to build an app you could work at on your mobile device, or is this something that I wanted to make a web app? Well, it turns out that a lot of the programming systems that are available now allow you to do two things, to create a web app and to simultaneously create a mobile app. So those web apps, if they're built with so-called responsive design, can be viewed on a mobile device, an iPad, an Android phone, Android tablet, iPhone, and so forth. Now, in my particular case, I envision people uploading data and so on, and so to do the calculations for my software. So I had really envisioned a web app. You know, gone are the days when you buy a program and get it delivered on a CD-ROM or a floppy disk, certainly. It's much more convenient to just go to a website and log in and upload your data and to calculate your results. So that's really what I had in mind. So I discovered a lot of really cool sites to teach you how to code. One I highly recommend is called Bento. And that's sort of a meta site. It's a guided tour through different curated free coding tutorials on the web. One of the major pieces of that in the beginning is to, they link you to what's called Code Academy. Again, it's entirely for free. You learn how to code interactively. The tools are wonderful. They give you instruction in mini lessons. You actually code on the screen. And when you hit submit, you see the results of your actions in another window. So it's very interactive and it's a wonderful way to learn how to code. And they start you off on learning to code in HTML, which, of course, is not really a coding language. It's a markup language. It's the code that's used to build websites along with CSS, which is cascading style sheets. So I knew HTML pretty well, not so much CSS. So this seemed like a relevant place to start if I was going to build a web-enabled program. And they also teach JavaScript and also PHP, Python, Ruby on Rails, and a bunch of other kinds of languages. So just to list a couple of other resources for learning how to code, there's Code School, there's Girls Who Code, there's Khan Academy, I'm sure you're familiar with, Skill Crush, Thinkful, Udemy, W3 Schools. Some of these are free, some of them many of these are free, and then there are also much more sophisticated app development platforms which would eventually cost money. Accelerator is one. BuzzTouch. MIT App Inventor, which is free. Xamarin. And so I'm not going to go into depth in that, but perhaps we'll come back in maybe a year from now and I can report my progress and how I learned how to code. I think I've pretty set my sights on learning HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. These are three key components of web apps, and especially useful for folks out there who know how to build websites and to add JavaScript to it to build web applications that can actually do some calculations. So I have a lot to learn, and I wanted to share this with you. So go to my show notes and see if you've been intrigued enough to dig into some of these and learn a little bit of coding. So that's all I have for this episode. So until next time, have a great week.
that's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.